The next case this morning is number 052713, the United States against Hector Martinez-Martinez. Ms. Bailey.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Good morning, Ms. Hellert. This case is before the court on direct appeal following Mr. Martinez's sentence of 41 months for illegally reentering the United States following a prior deportation. The 41-month sentence fell at the bottom end of the correctly calculated 41 to 51-month guideline range. Because the sentence fell within the correctly calculated guideline range, it is entitled to a presumption of reasonableness. However, in this case, the sentence was, in fact, unreasonable. Particularly, the 41-month sentence is unreasonable in light of the sentencing factors outlined in 18 United States Code Section 3553A, particularly subsection A6. 3553A6 requires that the court consider the need to avoid unwarranted sentencing disparities among defendants with similar records who have been found guilty of similar conduct. The crux of Mr. Martinez's argument, presented via his sentencing memorandum and at the sentencing hearing, was that the lack of a fast-track program in the Southern District of Indiana for immigration cases such as his created an unwarranted sentencing disparity between defendants sentenced in the Southern District of Indiana, such as Mr. Martinez, and those sentenced in fast-track jurisdictions. Mr. Martinez found support for his position in part from a case from the Eastern District of Wisconsin. In that case, United States versus Galvez-Berrios, Judge Adelman addressed the same issue. Galvez-Berrios was sentenced for the same offense as Mr. Martinez and had a guideline range calculated as the same as Mr. Martinez, an offense level of 21, criminal history category 2, for a range of 41 to 51 months. In sentencing Galvez-Berrios to 24 months, the same sentence that Mr. Martinez argued for both in his sentencing memorandum and at a sentencing hearing, Judge Adelman held that, quote, it is difficult to imagine a disparity less warranted than one that depends on the judicial district where the defendant happens to be found. In sentencing Mr. Martinez to 41 months, the district court in this case created an unwarranted sentencing disparity. There are similar defendants with similar records who have been found guilty of similar conduct and who have received lower sentences than the defendant in this circuit and in courts in other circuits and in those courts in which there are, in fact, fast-track programs. The sentencing disparity itself in this case cannot be justified by the other characteristics that the court looked at in determining Mr. Martinez's sentence. For example, it looked at Mr. Martinez's character and history, looked at his history of employment since he had illegally returned to the United States, the fact that he had paid taxes, and found nothing terribly exceptional about Mr. Martinez that would require, say, a higher sentence, or that would require the court to find that his criminal history category had perhaps been underrepresented. The court at sentencing, let me say it this way, it's not clear from the court's discussion at sentencing that the court adequately considered the issue of sentencing disparity as it was presented by counsel. Counsel are cited to the Galvez-Berrios case and cases from other districts, arguing that despite the fact that the guidelines were calculated at 41 to 51 months, that a lower sentence would in fact be warranted. It's not clear from the transcript and from the judge's discussion at sentencing that the judge adequately considered that. Mr. Martinez's position is that by failing to sentence him below the guidelines in this case, the judge created an unwarranted sentencing disparity and that the sentence is therefore unreasonable. And if there are no questions from the court, I'll reserve the balance of my time.
I guess not, Ms. Bailey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Hillard.
Good morning, Your Honors. Thank you, and may it please the court. My name is Gail Hillard. I have represented the government throughout this entire case. This court has set forth the instructions for sentencing courts following Booker. The district court in this case has followed Booker and the Seventh Circuit precedent. The district court was not bound to apply the guidelines, but it was required to consult them and take them into account when sentencing Mr. Martinez. They are still part of a fair sentencing regime across the country. The fact that the district court imposed the low end of the sentencing guideline range following its consideration of both the guideline factors and the 18 U.S.C. 3553 factors, including unwarranted sentencing disparity, which is Mr. Martinez's chief complaint on appeal, does not mean that it was illegal nor improper. Mr. Martinez cannot rebut the presumption of reasonableness in this case. The district court, for example, considered that Mr. Martinez was a twice convicted felon for charges of attempted murder and personal use of a firearm. He could properly consider those things based on characteristics of the defendant. The district court considered that he served a prior prison sentence of 5.5 years of actual time and came back almost immediately after his deportation. In the court's consideration of the need to promote respect for the law and the characteristics of the defendant. But the only one factor that Mr. Martinez really complains about on appeal is sentencing disparity. Mr. Martinez is incorrect, however, that Judge McKinney failed to consider this, because the court specifically talked about this a few times on pages 31 through 35 of the sentencing transcript. The court looked at what Congress called for as a statutory maximum for this crime of 20 years. The court considered the reason that Mr. Martinez was deported, that is, his two counts of attempted murder and the fact that he entered an early guilty plea. In this case, the court considered the same cases that Mr. Martinez argues before this court today of defendants charged with reentry, and he rejected them, stating that Mr. Martinez's situation was as individual as those other cases were.
I agree that an individualized look at this case can get to different conclusions. But let's hypothetically, the same, very same person, everything is the same, but they're convicted in New Mexico or they're convicted in Indiana. The sentences are going to be very different.
Maybe that's
probably
true. There are fast track systems, or there are fast track programs in many southwestern states, and I think
in
even
all the
New
border
York
states.
Sure, and that accommodates a need for those prosecutors and those U.S. attorneys' offices who are overrun. They've got a high volume of those kinds of cases, but even amongst, for example, California. California has four districts, and in California's four districts, the fast-track programs run differently. In the Central District of California, they choose to prosecute, according to Banuelos Rodriguez, they choose to prosecute only the very worst offenders and seek lengthy prison terms. But in the Southern, the Eastern, and the Northern districts of California, they choose to prosecute people for probably most of them get 24 months or less, and then the worst offenders in those districts get 5 years or less.
So what you're saying is, so what if there's a little disparity? That's okay because there's other considerations that have to be taken account of.
Those fast-track programs were applied for by United States attorney's offices, and they're run very regulated, and because defendants, I guess it could be called, get a break in those districts, all other things considered, doesn't mean that Mr. Martinez is getting treated worse in Indiana or worse in areas without fast-track programs.
Is that the better test? Is he treated any worse than anybody in Indiana who's arrested here or convicted of
I guess that's a difficult question to answer because it was a guideline sentence in Mr. Martinez's case. He wasn't treated above the guidelines, so we don't have that question before the court.
I mean, he is treated the same as everybody who is convicted in Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin because
Correct.
None of those states have fast-track systems.
Correct. Any state where the sentencing court, applies the 3553 factors and looks at the sentencing guidelines and chooses to apply a sentencing guideline range he gets treated the very same. And in fact, in the majority of the 94 districts that don't have a fast track program, he's going to be treated the same. So, again, with the factor of sentencing disparity, the court compared the statutory maximum of 20 years with his sentence of 41 months and found it more than reasonable. That's on pages 34 and 35. And all in all things considered, the government asked this court to affirm Mr. Martinez's sentence. It was reasonable, and he has not rebutted that presumption.
Thank you, Ms. Hellart. You have 5.5 minutes, Ms. Bailey.
Well, I hope I won't need it all, Judge. Counsel for the government has contended that Mr. Martinez cannot rebut the presumption that his sentence was reasonable, and I'd like to address that issue in this way. In the case cited from the Eastern District of Wisconsin, a very similar offense, similar defendant's criminal history, the defendant in the Galvez Berrios case had been sentenced. The prior aggravating felony was, I believe, battery, some sort of battery or assault, but it had been reduced from an attempted murder charge, the same charge that Mr. Martinez prior was for in California that aggravated his sentence, the 16 levels under the guidelines.
Let me ask you this. We're concerned here in these guideline cases with unwarranted disparity. Unwarranted is a somewhat overlooked word there, because some disparity is probably acceptable.
Absolutely.
I've been a judge a long time, and I was sentencing people before the guidelines, and there was disparity all over the place, but it was just part of the system, tolerated. What's wrong with the a program that recognizes severe overcrowding in some courts for certain cases, the border states that have fast-track systems, and places up here which are not inundated with these cases, that they don't have it? Why is that? That's disparity, perhaps, but is it unwarranted disparity?
Yes, it is unwarranted, Your Honor, and here's why. The lower sentences that people will receive in fast-track cases are then not based on any individualized sentencing determination made about the particular defendants that are benefiting from those fast-track programs. They're made because the court may be overworked, the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Federal Defender's Offices may be overworked. It has nothing to do with the individual defendant. And sentencing determinations are supposed to be individualized determinations made because of the factors of the defendant, his history and characteristics, and all these other things that 3553A discusses. In this case, what we have here is one court in this circuit, Eastern District of Wisconsin, acknowledging the disparity and sentencing defendants below the guidelines accordingly. We have another court then in the circuit, the Southern District of Indiana, that is not doing the same. And the question must be asked, first of all, is the disparity significant? I would think that it is. It turns out to be 17 months in this case, the 24 months received in the Wisconsin case versus the 41 months received by Mr. Martinez. So that is a significant difference. It's more than a year in jail, which asking any defendant, I assure you, they would tell you that that's a significant amount of time. So then the question is, as Your Honor stated, is that discrepancy warranted? And there is nothing about the different defendants or the facts of their cases that would warrant such a disparity. There's nothing about Mr. Martinez that makes him so unlike either the defendants in the fast-track districts that get the benefit of fast-track sentencing or the defendants being sentenced in the Eastern District of Wisconsin. The fact of the matter is that while Mr. Martinez may not have been treated any worse than other defendants in this district in terms of guideline sentencing, he certainly wasn't treated similarly and certainly was not treated as well. That, in my opinion, is an unwarranted disparity. The court should find it as such and should remand for resentencing accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bailey. Ms. Bailey, you were appointed in this case, and you have the deep thanks of the court for your fine efforts on behalf of your client.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Indeed, our thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.